Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dearful brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner, Archytas, will send you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You will have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him.
Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters in Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you.
Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear God, please help us to remember Jesus, who came to earth to save and guide. Help us to follow his path of loving grace. On this Palm Sunday and every day, I ask that you bless Sean with wisdom as he teaches us about you. Amen.
As I was reading and studying the text for this week, I realized I'm pretty sure that we saved the hardest section of Colossians for our poor kids. But they did a great job with all of those names and all of those places. Well done, well done. And like Stephen and I shared with them, if you just say it with enough confidence, most people would be like, oh, that's how you pronounce that name. I always pronounced it this way. Like, we don't know the difference. It's okay. And they did a great job. And so with that reading, we have now read every verse in the book of Colossians, except for two. And that just feels a little unfinished to me. I was supposed to preach on these in week 10 of our series. I ended up changing a little bit with my sermon. And so we didn't read those texts. And so today, as we close, I want to invite my daughter, Nora, up here to read these final two passages in Colossians for me. And so Nora, if you would just read Colossians chapter 3, verse 20 for me.
Children, obey your parents.
Wait, can you say that again?
Yeah, just sorry.
A little bit louder so that the back can hear. Yeah.
Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty good. But I don't think that we need to read that next verse. What do you think?
Yeah, we should.
Do you think that we should read that next verse?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Read verse 21.
Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you very much for closing that off for us. And now we have read every passage in the book of Colossians. Good job, sweetie. She was going to say, she was joking around, she might say it next service, but after the fathers don't embitter your children, she was going to say, true that, Jesus, but decided not to. We are wrapping up our series in the book of Colossians this morning, and over the last 12 weeks, we have been looking at this idea that Jesus is the one thing that makes all things new. Like when we put our faith and our hope and our trust in Jesus, he comes into our lives and he makes us new, and he makes everything about about us new. It's not just our standing and our position with God. He starts making us new in the way that we live, in the way that we act, the places where we find our identity and our purpose and our value. Jesus makes all things new. And in Christ, we receive everything that we need to be rooted and built up in Christ, to live out this new life that he has called us to. And as Jesus makes us new, what we have found as we've gone through this book is that then we begin to have the freedom to not be bound to our old ways of life, the things that used to bring us down and cause us to fear and to fret and to worry. We find freedom from our old way of life that used to bind us in slavery to our sin. And since Christ is all and is in all in our lives, then we've been free to find new purpose. We can live in the freedom of Christ with compassion and kindness and grace and mercy and humility and love. We get to walk in the freedom of all of that. And as Christ continues to make us new, it changes everything. It changes not just our vertical position with God, it changes our horizontal relationships with other people. And we said a couple of weeks ago that as the gospel works in us, the very first place where it should be felt and experienced is in our homes. It should be seen and experienced in those closest relationships that we have. And so we talked about the impact that the gospel makes in our marriages. Last week, we talked about how it changes the way that we approach even things like our work. It gives new meaning and purpose to the work that we do. A friend of mine sent me this picture last week, and he said, I don't think that this is what Paul had in mind when we talk about giving 100% at work, 14% Monday, 20% Tuesday, 42% on Wednesday. That's probably not what he had in mind. But over the last 3 months, we have seen how Jesus makes all things new. And as we close out today, we are going to see that not only does Jesus make us new, but then he gives us a new mission, a new purpose, new meaning. He sends us out into this world with a new mission. He sends us out to continue the work that he started of helping people find and follow him. To take the good news that we've received in Christ, this new life that we have found, and not just be a cul-de-sac of it, where it just gets stuck with us, but to be a conduit of it, where the gospel is flowing through us into the lives of others. We take the good that we have received in Christ, and we share it with others. That's what we see happening in the last part of this letter to the Colossians. People who had been transformed by the grace of God were now taking that message to these hard-to-pronounce places around the world to share the good news with others. And it's because they were following the footsteps of what Jesus started. What we see in the life of Jesus in the Gospels and these accounts in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of Jesus' life is that everywhere Jesus went, he went with compassion and kindness and love. He reached out to those who were the marginalized in their society and made them feel welcome and invited into God's family. Jesus, everywhere that he went, he loved and he served others. He brought the kingdom of heaven just a little bit closer in people's lives. He says in Matthew 20, verse 28, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's what Jesus came to do, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life for us. He goes on and he tells three different stories in Luke chapter 15 about things that were lost and then were found. And he tells these stories to reveal God's heart for things and people that are lost, that are far from him, and how there is much rejoicing when they come near. He goes on and later on in that passage, and he starts talking about how the Son of Man did not come to be served, but he also came not just to show us how to live, but to seek and to save the lost. And so Jesus came to look for lost people, look for lost things, bring them back so that they can be found. Right after that, he tells a parable, another story about servants who were given bags of gold and were entrusted to steward it as if they were the ones who owned it. And the idea from this story is that we are to take whatever we have, whatever, as Karina said, whatever time, talent, or treasure we have, and use it so that more people can come to know, love, and follow Jesus. We taught on this passage back in the fall, and we actually had a physical expression of that where we gave some people some money and we said, go and invest this in God's kingdom. We're going to hear an update on that later on today. And it's out of this parable that we find a text that is kind of important to us today, this Palm Sunday. Luke chapter 19, verse 37, when he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. And they said, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And on Palm Sunday, Jesus rides into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey looking for lost people, looking to do what he could to save them, to be a ransom for many. And over the course of the next week, Jesus would be betrayed and crucified and buried and resurrected. It's what we remember this Holy Week. We've got the prayer path to help us focus our hearts and our minds on that this week. And before he ascends back into heaven, Jesus calls his disciples and he says, listen, everything, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and now I want you to go. I'm giving it to you. Go make disciples. And he says in Acts 1:8, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The idea is that Jesus came looking for lost people, came to rescue us so that we can be found. And then he sends us out on mission to continue what he started. And what we see in the rest of the book of Acts and in the New Testament is that this message made its way throughout the known world, so that even people in this tiny community of Colossae had come to follow Jesus. When Paul opens up this letter, he praises God for their faith in Jesus and the way that the gospel was working in them and making them new. And then he says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 6, this same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. So don't miss this. Like, what started with Jesus riding into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey to seek and to save the lost, it continued with those first disciples being sent out into the world with the good news of God's love and grace. And that message eventually made its way to Colossae and this church and these followers of Jesus. It was bearing fruit in their life just as it was happening around the world. And we get to the end of Paul's letter, and he's mentioning all of these people and all of these places who continued to take the message around the world, to continue the work that Jesus started. The work of seeking the lost so that they can be saved by God's grace. And what we read in the end is all of these people from all walks of life were giving themselves to this. Men and women, rich and poor, slaves and prisoners and free, people who would naturally be inclined to distrust and despise one another, were finding unity in Christ and unity in their shared mission of making Jesus known throughout the world. And what we see throughout the New Testament and church history is that as the gospel grows in us, and it begins to move through us, as we make Jesus, as he makes us new, then we make Jesus known. As he gives us a new identity and we find new purpose and joy in our life, we naturally want to take the good that we have received and share it with those around us. We find joy in knowing Jesus and making him known to others. And as we do that, we use every resource in our disposal, our time, our talent, our treasures, to make him known, everything he's entrusted to us. We talked about that parable that we taught on a few months ago, and for those in the room that received the $100 that we handed out, if you want to go ahead and make your way on up here now, we're going to be able to hear from some of them this morning. And if you weren't here that day, or you know, 4 months ago, maybe you've forgotten, we taught about this and how the master, this parable, this story talks about the master entrusted his servants with this bag of gold. And then he came back and he's like, okay, what did you do with it? And the idea of the parable is that we take what God has given us and we pour it in. We invest in what matters to God. And what matters to God is people. And we want to grow God's kingdom through his people and to use what he has entrusted to us to do that. And so I invited three people every service that just wanted to go on an adventure for God. They had no idea what they were getting themselves into. Handed them $100 and said, here, go and invest this in people. And so today we have a couple that are up here to share a little bit about what they did with that money and how they saw God multiply it. And so thank you for joining us and for taking that challenge. Can we give them a hand? That's awesome. So Andrew and Beth, just want to kind of ask you a couple of questions here about that moment. So you came up here and tell us just a little bit about how you felt as you were walking up on the stage, wondering, what am I doing? What is this about? And then how you felt walking off the stage with that $100 bill in your hands.
I'm very adventurous. I like challenges. I was very excited. I think even walking off the stage, I had an idea and a spark about how I wanted to raise money and what I wanted to give to. So a lot of excitement, honestly, immediately.
Yeah. Although a little bit of, I mean, because you walked up here expecting that you weren't going to be alone.
That's right.
Yeah.
The whisper to go to the challenge was, my wife and I both are adventurous. She whispered in my ear, oh, that would be cool. We should do that. So I'm like, oh, we're doing that. So I walk up and then I'm up here and I'm like,
Oh, I'm doing that. I'm doing that. Yes.
I got it.
Yes.
No,
it's funny how oftentimes the whisper of the Holy Spirit sounds a lot like our wife.
It really is. It's amazing. Yeah.
Except the Holy Spirit never leaves us behind. I'm just saying. Yeah. Nice. Beth, how about you?
I'm very much the same, very adventurous, always up for a challenge. So I was excited coming up until I found out it was about money and what to do with it.
Yeah.
I can tell you honestly that once I walked off the stage, I was kind of like, I don't know what I got myself into here, and I am really worried about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So what did you do next? You leave the service, you go home. What did you do with that money? And did you invite people into it with you?
So for myself, it actually took me a really long time. I believe I spoke to you at one point, Sean, and just said, I have so much anxiety over this. Like, I don't know where to start. I don't know where to go. I don't know. So I wrestled with it a lot. And then, of course, I invited my husband and my four girls, you know, into praying about it as well. I had to go on a sudden trip back to South Africa, which is where I'm from. And by the time I went to South Africa, I still had not decided what I wanted to do. And there was a sense of peace then that came to me in the sense of, you know, maybe this is what God's been waiting for, and that I was intended to use that money there. So, once I got there, I spoke to my sister and brother-in-law that both live there. They're both in the ministry, and asked them to pray with me. And they pointed me to just what I believe was the perfect ministry.
I'm looking forward to hearing a little bit more about that in a little bit. Andrew, how did you feel walking off the stage with that?
Yeah, so like I said, excitement. Had early ideas about how to raise the money, what to do with it. Sean and I both actually volunteer on Monday nights with Campus Life for the middle schoolers, 6th to 8th graders, particularly the 6th grade boys, which are the most challenging people on the planet to teach the gospel.
Pray for us. It's good training ground. I'm like, if I can teach at the sixth grade boys on Monday nights, I can teach anybody.
So just for a long time, actually, talking with David Shunker at Campus Life, we had this idea of having an obstacle course for fifth and sixth graders to kind of work through challenges and then pair that to the gospel. And so I'm like, I'm going to raise money for that. We're going to start this thing. We're going to get going.
And so you went right to work.
Yeah. Right to work. We put the $100 on the fridge and it stayed there for 3 months. It wasn't for lack of wanting to do it. I had a plan. I had an idea about how I would do it. I mean, I think within 30 seconds after that service had ended, you know, a friend had come up and said, hey, I'll match it. So I'm like, 30 seconds into it, I've doubled my money, right?
Yeah. This is going to be easy.
And the $100 was literally there on the fridge for 3 months. And if you want to feel anxiety or pressure about doing something as a parent, tell your kids that you have something to do.
Yeah.
I mean, constant reminder, hey, Dad, when are you going to do that? They knew the plan. I'd talked to all my friends. They knew the plan. Yeah. Life. Mm-hmm. I mean, just being busy, kids' activities, work. Mm-hmm. I just didn't do it until about a month ago. Mm-hmm. And I got your email, said, hey, this service coming up, we're going to talk about what you did with that money. Okay, now I need to go do this.
It
just took time.
But I really appreciate you both sharing that. There's a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of like, oh, what am I going to do? And I think that it also, both of you, there's when we take what God has given us and we want to live open-handedly with it, there's like, okay, Lord, here it is, but then life comes up. And we miss opportunities. Maybe we don't take opportunities that he puts in front of us. We pray and we want to get it just right. And so we get anxious about it. And God's like, no, trust me. Just trust me in the midst of all of that. And you both kind of got to live that out. Yeah. And so what did you end up doing with the $100?
So there is a township in Cape Town, South Africa, that is built around, and if you're not familiar with a township, it's kind of like like the slums. It's basically just an area where people who have nothing have used metal off the streets, anything that they can find to build a shack, and that's where they live. And it's a very dangerous area. It's built around a maximum security prison called Polesmoor Prison. And so the kids on the street are just faced every day with gangs and violence and all sorts of things. And there was this one gentleman that just had a heart for these kids. And if you know, anywhere you go just about in the world, people play soccer. It's just, it seems like you give anyone a ball and soccer is the thing they do. And this guy decided that he wanted to start a ministry where he invited the kids over after school for soccer matches. And it grew exponentially to where finally he had leagues that they were playing in. They got donations for uniforms. But what I loved about it more than anything is that there is accountability with the kids. So they can come practice after school. They can, you know, work to be on a team or anything like that. But they cannot participate in the matches if they're not going to school and if they're not doing their homework. And so in addition to that, a lot of the volunteers offer their time up right after school. They have a place, a church that they can go to where the kids can come in, and it's kind of like an aftercare, and they'll work with them on their homework. I mean, they just provide them with every opportunity that they can, you know, to bring them back up. And so, yeah, a lot of sad stories. A lot of people have lost their lives, actually, in the midst of all of it. But I'll tell you one really quick one. Yeah. During COVID, they banded together and were handing out food, you know, in their community and just trying to use the resources that they had. One of the gentlemen, you know, was only trying to give a certain amount and was stabbed multiple times. He survived. Wow. But, you know, these are people that are living out their faith in a way that is just incredible. So
you're able to give that to be a blessing to the ministry and encourage.
Yeah, and I do want to just say one last thing. Their motto is called turning scars into stars, which is just so beautiful because so many of these kids are so scarred and then they can watch them shine.
Yeah, that's great. So as you, praise God for that. That's really good. Thank you. So as you think about this experience, maybe a couple of different questions here. What surprised you about it? Or what did you learn about using the resources God has entrusted to you to build his kingdom?
I think honestly it was, you know, the money was on the fridge. It was a daily reminder that I had this task, this order, this voice from God to do something with resources that had been entrusted to me, but I didn't take the step. And I thrive on last minute things. You want me to get creative, wait till it's midnight, the night before I need to do something. And so honestly, that's kind of how that came to light. But it's not like God wasn't there the entire time. You know, this, all I needed to do was take that first step and he would bless. And I mean, a couple quick Facebook posts and some messages out to as many people as I could message. And in about 24 hours, that $100 turned into $1,200 or $1,300 for Campus Life. Who's meeting kids right where they are, you know?
That's really exciting too. Yeah. Which is why you're decked out in your Campus Life gear. Yes, yeah, yep. Very good. Beth, anything for you? Anything that surprised you or anything that you learned during this?
I think I was so inspired by these people that despite the fact that they have a job, they have a family, they have responsibilities, just completely poured everything, even their own finances. They make like minimum wage and 40% of their finances, you know, are going into this ministry. And so it was just an incredible inspiration for me. I too am with Sean and... and do Campus Life as well. And I think more than anything, one of the biggest things I learned is that God has gifted us in different ways. Mm. I believe God 100% showed up, but I don't feel that I'm gifted in this type of thing. But I'm excited to use my gifting, you know, in other places where I feel like I can make a difference.
Yeah. That's great. All right. Well, hey, guys, thank you so much for taking the challenge and for joining us today. Really, really appreciate you. It's good stuff. So the point of it, and we had one couple, just to share a quick story. They weren't able to make it. They're down in Florida wintering there. But they took the challenge, and immediately before they left, it had doubled to $100, another $100 that somebody gave them. And they were praying what to do. They ended up giving the money to His Eyes in Honduras. And by the time that they did, it had multiplied to $2,000. And they used it to buy trees that are being planted right now, avocado trees, mango trees that are going to be able to provide nourishment to the place where there is a new church plant, but then also some of the fruit to be sold to be able to support the ministry. And avocado trees, they say, will live and bear fruit from 200 to 400 years. Mango trees, as much as 300 years. And so they said that $100 is going to pay dividends for generations to come. It's really neat. And so the gospel, it grows in us. Yeah. As it grows in us, as it's making us new, man, we want to look for every opportunity we can to say, God, how can I take the good that I have received in Christ and give it away to others? Using everything at my disposal to make the good news of Jesus known so that more people will come in to know, love, and follow him. And as Beth said, it's not just financial resources. It is the gifts and the talents that God has given us. The gospel always comes to you on its way to someone else. It was never meant to stop with you. You were meant to pass it on to others. And Paul tells us in our text today to make the most of every opportunity that God has given us, to share the good news with others. And what a great opportunity we have this week to invite someone back to Easter next week. So who can you invite? A friend, a coworker, a family member to come to church with you next. More people are open to an invitation for Easter than ever before. And this could be an opportunity for you to plant a seed of the gospel in their life so that they can come to find the same hope in Jesus, the same new life through him that you have found. And so we're going to have three Easter services. All of them are going to be identical. We're going to have Sherwood Kid programming at 8 o'clock, 9:30, and 11. And so come join us on Easter. As we live out this new life that Jesus is forming in us, and we get to share it with others. And we do it in a way that is gracious, that is kind, that is filled with compassion, that is generous, a way that gives life to the lives of others. As the gospel grows, it drives out the old and it brings in the new. And then we take that new and we give it away to others. We plant it in their life as well. And we've had a few visual reminders of that during this series. First of all is our sermon bumpers. Maybe some of you have noticed, we haven't alluded to it specifically, but you may have noticed that our sermon bumpers each week have looked a little bit different. They've all started with kind of this dark and winter type environment, and then each week that circle has just gotten a little bit bigger until now we see kind of that new life. And the idea is that, like, that's what the gospel is doing in us. It starts as this seed that is planted in our hearts. And as Jesus makes us new, it begins to grow and take over more of who we are and who we are becoming. He's bringing that new life. And not only have we seen it in our sermon bumper, but God has been proclaiming his gospel through his creation from winter to spring, death to new life. And we've also had it in these flowers that have been sitting around the church. Maybe you've noticed them. We had a worship night back in January, and we invited people that were there to take a bulb, a seed, and to pray over it. Who it might represent that they want to take the gospel and kind of plant it into their life. And so we had a moment where we took these bulbs and we put them in these vases with water, and then we went and we sat them out all along the windows. Maybe you've seen them, wondered, what in the world are those about? But over the course of the last couple of months, we've been able to watch as these bulbs have formed roots and began to grow. And it's been a reminder to us that the gospel comes to us, but it continues through us, and that we plant those seeds, and as we do, it begins to take root in the lives of others and grow and bear fruit in their life too. On Palm Sunday, Jesus rode into Jerusalem looking to seek and save lost people like me and like you. And as the gospel grows in us, we feel this desire to take it out and share it with others, so that they can find Jesus who wants to make them new too. So grace be with you as you go out on this new mission that God has sent us on. Jesus, thank you for how much you love us and for the work that you do in us. And Lord, as you are making us new, may we take the good that we have received and give it away to others. May we take this new life and share it so that they may come to know love and follow you too. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Sherwood Oaks Christian Church. Did you know you can watch all of our video content, both current and past, on our YouTube channel? Visit youtube.com/Sherwood Oaks to watch messages, series, and complete worship services.